Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Many say that the most distinctive change about Christianity compared to everything else, not just every other religion, but every other way of life, is the summons we're called to live to love our enemies. In the world, nobody else will ever do that. And we know how hard it is to love those who make their existential purpose to oppose us. But that's not the most contradictory thing to the world. It's treated that way because most Christians don't take today's feast seriously enough. Jesus prepared his disciples for the cross. First, for his death on the cross, and then their own modeling their entire life on that mystery. Told it to him three times. Each time, as we know and we talk about throughout the liturgical year, they blew him off. Peter tried to oppose and was given the new name Satan. The others just were focusing on ambition. And even when it happened, despite at least the threefold prophecy that it would occur, blow by blow, not to mention the whole prehistory of the Old Testament, they all scampered. They all ran away. Because in the original mindset, the cross was the sign of death. And not just death, but the most painful and ignominious death imaginable. And so it's natural that nobody would look at the cross as anything other than evil. And it was the same thing with the disciples. But after the prophecy that Jesus would be betrayed, handed over to the chief priests, scribes, and that they would put him to death, but on the third day he would be raised. When he rose from the dead, bearing the glorious wounds that he had received upon the cross, things began to change. Took a while. But this sign of evil became the greatest sign of good. This sign of pain became a sign of the love that made that pain bearable. This sign of death ultimately became the new tree of life. So from that point forward, everything was meant to change in Christianity. That we could live the mystery anew so that St. Paul would be able to say, for example, in today's second reading from the letter to the Philippians, have the same mindset as Christ, who though he was in the form of God, didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but took on human nature and became humble, so humble that he went all the way to the cross. But from that cross, from that humility, God exalted him above every other name. To have that mindset that the cross was humanly greatest humiliation, but in God's plan, the greatest means of exaltation. Jesus looked at it as his being lifted up. John always used it as his glorification. Likewise, St. Peter had the massive conversion so that he would be able to write about the cross to the first Christians. St. John had that conversion, saying if Christ did this, we need to follow his footsteps. The reason why the cross isn't considered a greater contradiction with things of the world than loving our enemies is because most of us don't model our whole life on the mystery of the Lord's cross. We don't see this as the most challenging conversion that the Lord in his grace wants to give us to make. We see some of the aspects of that conversion in today's readings. First reading, we have the sin of the Israelites in the desert, when they were moaning and groaning rather than being grateful to God for their liberation and for all the miracles. They were complaining constantly about everything. They were sinning. So to remind them, he had these seraph serpents slither among them to bite them with their toxins. Serpents, bringing them all the way back to the Garden of Eden so that they would grasp precisely what they were doing. And the poison of sin was flowing within their veins. And the wages of sin, death, they were dying. God's medicine is always really important because he doesn't do it simply to punish, but to teach and to heal. So for the antidote, he had Moses make a bronze serpent, evocative of the golden calf they had made as a thing of idolatry. But a bronze serpent, as they couldn't stand the serpent, they would be able to see it mounted on a pole so that they would see up there sin and the death to which sin leads. If they looked at that, they would be healed. Because looking at sin, looking at the death that was coming, they would cry out to God for mercy. They would begin to recognize who God really was and how they were really treating him. Jesus used that as the great prophecy of Calvary. Tells us in today's gospel, in his conversation with Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus became like that serpent. He became the sign of sin and death. He who knew sin became sin for us. And looking at this innocent man crucified in the most horrible way human ingenuity had ever invented, they would begin to recognize just what they had been doing in sending this innocent man to death. In choosing sin over love and life. And they would be able to cry out to God for mercy. This transition from evil to good, from death to life, from the devil to God. The second half of today's gospel reading focuses on motivation. God did all of this because he so loved us that he gave us his only son so that we might not perish. The cross would ultimately become the great sign of the triumph of love. But then we go back to Jesus' prophecies. Jesus will tell us, you can only be my disciple if you pick up your cross daily and follow me. He will repeatedly say, follow me. Love one another as I have loved you. And God so loved the world that he loved us that way. No one has any greater love than to lay down his life for his friend. And so this is the way we're supposed to look at the cross, not as a sign of pain, evil, death, crucifixion, but ultimately as the greatest summons to a Christ-like love. If we took that summons to Christ-like love more seriously throughout our culture, we would recognize just what an exodus is involved here. But a lot of times we hear it and we think that to pick up our cross and follow the Lord means just to mortify ourselves in the front of that person who tries our patience. Just to bear a little bit better the headache with which we might be afflicted. Just to get out of bed when the bell rings in the morning. No, 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 it's so much more. It's a total transformation of life. Just over a week ago, I had the privilege to celebrate my 10,000th Mass. I've been looking forward to it for a really long time. You know, every time is special, but 10,000 is a pretty big number. I'm hoping to get to 25,000 if I'm not martyred before then. But I go back to what is said as soon as a man is ordained a priest. So there has been the laying on the floor as the saints are invoked. Then you come on up and the bishop imposes hands. And Bishop O'Malley at that time used to impose hands for an average of 77 seconds. You could play a whole retreat as the hands are on your head. And then you'd have the prayer, the form of the sacrament would come. You'd be vested. And then you'd come and you'd kneel, and it'd hand you the paten with the host to be consecrated into Jesus' body, and the chalice. Say, receive from the people of God the gifts to be offered to him. Know what you're doing. Imitate quadractanda, what you handle. Imitate. Model your life on the mystery of the Lord's cross. That in the heart of preparing a priest to celebrate Mass, there's the instruction to model your entire life in the mystery of the Lord's cross. And that's just not a command for priests, it's a command for every Christian. To model our life on this cruciform love, and not just to model it, to interiorize it, to imitate it from within. Ultimately to live it and love it. This is the Christian life. And it's something that even after the resurrection, many shirk from just as much as the apostles did prior to the resurrection. But this is the true Christian way. Our entire Christian life is enveloped within this mystery. At the beginning of it, in a very powerful gesture that most Christians don't pay enough attention to, at the day of our baptism, the breast is wide open. I always have to deal with young couples to say, don't tie the ribbons around the neck so much that I can't get my thumb down there. But with the oil of catechumens, you anoint the heart with the cross. I always, when I prepare couples for baptism, it's just, you know why we're doing that? It's like we're blessing your child with the cross. What's involved there? Right over the heart. Why there? We start to enter into the mystery that our whole heart is meant to be cruciform, to receive the outpouring of Jesus' love from the cross, and then to make it an entire way of life. The very end of our life, priest will mark us and bless us with the cross as he anoints us. He will anoint our head with the cross. He will anoint our hands with the cross. If it's a particular part of our body that is suffering, he will anoint that part too. And he will bless us at the very end with that cross. From the Alpha to the Omega of Christian life, it's meant to be enveloped within this mystery. Likewise, the Mass. We begin with the cross, in which we unite this sign of victory to our baptism with holy water as we enter into the church, as well as to the Blessed Trinity. We receive their love in this means. And we finish with the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit off into the world so that we might glorify God by exalting his cross, lifting it high so that the whole world may proclaim that love. Everything is meant to be within that mystery. Saint Bernadette would talk only about one thing liberally when it came to the apparitions of Our Lady and Lord. They would always try to say what Our Lady said. She was always tight-lipped. Nobody likes to say the same story over and over and over again. But she'd open up the key to get her to talk about anything. It was when they said, "How did Our Lady make the sign of the cross?" Then she'd smile and she'd always teach. You know, the first time that she had seen Our Lady, February 11th, 1858, because she thought that the apparition might be a devil taking on the image of light. She tried to ward off the devil by making the sign of the cross, but her arm was immobilized. She couldn't move. But as soon as that beldame, that beautiful lady, made the sign of the cross, her arm was liberated. And she was able to imitate exactly the slow and prayerful way Our Lady made that sign. So she would teach people how to make the sign of the cross so that they would really pray it. When she was in the Vere as a sister, she would politely help the other sisters to learn how to pray the sign of the cross. One novice asked her what needed to be done to get to heaven. And Bernadette's response was, "Really pray the sign of the cross, and that'll be a very good start." Cross, Saint Francis called the book which teaches us all wisdom. The cross, Saint Rose of Lima said, is the great ladder to heaven, in fulfillment of the image of Jacob's ladder. St. Paul would call the cross his only boast and glory, the power and the wisdom of God, the means by which he is crucified to the world and the world to him. What an incredible mystery we celebrate today, a mystery we're called to model, to interiorize, to love, and to live. Since the earliest days of Christian liturgy, there has been an expression about the cross. It's from one of the verses of the Crux Fidelis, the faithful cross we sing every Good Friday. It's Ave Crux Spes Unica. Hail, O cross, our only hope. Our only hope because without what Jesus gained, we wouldn't have a chance. Our only hope, too, because unless we embrace this gift, this new tree of life, we're still on the outside. So today, Jesus offers us this incredible gift as he offers himself in his body and blood given for us on that cross. He says, "If you wish to be my disciple, take up this gift and follow me all the way home."